Hey, Katie.
Yeah?
Want to make a podcast?
Sure. Can we talk about outrageously dark and scary things like murder and aliens?
Yeah. And is it cool if we talk about beautiful things like divination and astrology?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Hi, we're Katie and Kelly, hosts of the podcast, All Things Outrageously Dark, Scary, Beautiful, and Totally True.
We recognize there's a lot of podcasts out there, but what sets us apart is our professionalism and dedication to our research.
New episodes every Wednesday. Tune in, and of course,
have the day you deserve. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Spiritual Sisters podcast. You know who it is. It's Nicole.
Just Nicole?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hi, guys. It's me, Gabrielle Celeste, and we're so excited to have one of our favorite guests back on, Miss Chikara Carpenter.
Hi.
This is the year of repeats already. I love it.
I know. Thank you for having me back. You know, I loved being on last time, and I'm your biggest number one fan. Anyone who says otherwise is wrong. So I literally have a poster of them. I have a poster of them over there. No, I'm just kidding.
Those are fighting words. Okay. You know what? Actually, I want someone else to tell us that they're our number one fan. I want to see who the real fans are. I want to hear it. And then I want to see you guys fight.
Okay, well, I am a martial artist, so.
Oh, I really want to see you guys fight then. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so. Oh, that kind of answers one of our questions. Okay, Chikara, so we're kind of doing things a little bit differently.
Okay.
Just we're trying to be more organized. We know how much you love organization. Oh, my gosh, she's laughing. She's like, these fucking liars. Okay, so we're trying to be a little more organized and have more of like a routine, not routine. What would you call it, Gabs? Like more of
structure.
Thank you. We're trying to have more structure to our episodes. So wish us luck. Okay. So for the guests, we have certain questions that we want to ask them. And we asked you a couple of them ahead of time just so you could know the answers and prep for it. So we're going to get there. But before that, you guys, don't forget to follow us on Instagram. Don't forget to rate and review, please. Spotify, Apple, all the places. Please and thank you. If you leave us a written review on Apple, let us know. Send us a little message so we can send you a thank you or something. Hold on. I have a little visitor.
These two are the ones who need to be washed.
Okay. Put those in the pile with the other things that need to be washed.
Where are the things?
Just right there by your feet. Yep.
This one is just
okay, got it. Thank you. I'm being told
mom
what
life.
To do. All right, mom life. Okay.
She got a boss.
I do have a boss. So what did I say? Written review. Follow us on Instagram. Let us know if you leave a written review. Send us a message so we can send you a little thank you or something. Also, fun holidays for this week. This episode is out January 30th. So today is National Inane Answering Machine Day 2024. Does anybody have answering machines anymore?
No.
Chikara, do you know what an answering machine is?
Yes, of course I know what an answering machine is.
Oh, were they around? Have you ever owned one?
I'm pretty sure my family had one. Yeah, we had one. Well, you do know my sisters are much older than me, so, and my parents are much older.
Yeah.
Right, but maybe they had already gotten rid of all of that technology by the time you came.
They're old school, so.
It's like home phones, you guys, the landline ones.
I put my friends on them.
Yep.
Okay.
And then January 31st is Backward Day 2024. We have on February 4th, Create a Vacuum Day. I don't know how you would do that, but.
Yeah.
Okay. February 5th is Did You Fart Day. 2024. So there might be a lot of people releasing a lot of hot air that day. Anyway, those are the fun holidays for this year. Oh, actually, yes. I was going to say, these are different than the last one that we had. I think we have two different calendars of fun holidays. Anyway, those are some fun holidays for this week, guys. So go celebrate National Answering Machine Day. Also, we have a workshop coming out on February 11th at 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's going to be a fun vision board workshop that we're going to talk a little bit about human design. We're going to talk a little bit about the subconscious mind. And the cost for that is going to be $24. And we love it because it's going to be the day after Lunar, is it Lunar New Year? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we kind of timed it around that because we didn't want to do anything right after the New Year because everybody's doing their resolutions. But usually by like maybe February, people have fallen off. So this is a good way to kind of reevaluate, see if you're on track, see if you want to change up some of the goals that you're striving for in the new year. So we are going to have links to those. Check out our Instagrams and we hope to see you guys there. Okay, Chikara, you ready for the questions?
Yes, I feel like I'm on a game show. So okay. This is fun.
You don't win anything, so Dang it's not that kind of game show.
I always want to win.
Okay, Gabs, what's up? Go ahead. Ask away.
Chikara, what are your big three in astrology?
Okay, so my big three are that I am a Scorpio sun, Taurus moon, and Aquarius rising.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Aquarius rising?
Yeah, she is. I'm not going to lie, guys, not really well versed in Western astrology, but I did research this before because, you know, I never come unprepared. So I've known like a little bit, of course, from Gabby telling me what my things are. So, but I definitely resonate because they said that Scorpio sun is very like structured and very passionate, like about life and intense, which I think you could tell I definitely resonate with. Another thing is for Taurus moon. I think the Taurus moon's more like sensual. It's like almost like kind of like very yin yangy. I feel like it's very like the opposite. I definitely resonate with that because I think like you enjoy like the pleasures of life. And I definitely feel like I'm very much a work hard, play hard person. So I definitely agree with that. And then in terms of Aquarius rising, I know Aquarius, everyone says we're in the, was it age of Aquarius? Like everything's changing, innovation, new life, like new age, stuff like that. I definitely agree with that. I definitely think I'm pretty unconventional and I'm, you know, starting a new wave of things and I enjoy change, but it's hard because I feel like as a Scorpio, I enjoy stability. So it's kind of like an interesting inner battle I have a lot of the times is that should I change or should I, do I crave stability? Do I crave change? Like, that's really interesting. So I definitely agree and resonate with all three of them for sure.
Oh. Gabs, am I an Aquarius rising too?
You sure are.
I thought that sounded familiar.
Aquarius rise.
Good for us. All right. Okay. Bonus question. Sorry, real quick.
Okay, I'm excited. Yes.
Because these, I still struggle with these. Like, I think I just remembered what mine was. But what is your animal? What is your...
Animal sign?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so in Chinese astrology, I'm born in the year of the snake. So you are born in the year of the pig. Technically, we are oppositions, so we may not get along.
I remember you said that last time.
Yes, but because we have, you know, not going to say how many years, but you're a few years older than me, you know?
You called me old last time, too.
I did not call you old. I did not call you. You called me. You're like, you could literally be my child. I'm like,
you
okay.
You could.
I mean, that's true.
Okay, so I'm the pig.
And then Gabby's a water monkey. She is a monkey.
But, okay, I mean, we're jumping ahead. But tell us we're going to have good years. Of course, he should expect us to just, like, you know, go on tangents. We had this whole conversation before we started recording. Like, she comes prepared with her 5 pages of notes. She's like, guys, like, I love listening, but as, like, a guest, not down for the lack of
stability. It's the Scorpio sun in me. I need the stability.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Are we going to have good years?
Yes, I'll say that. Okay. Well, okay. I'll say you guys have some auspicious years. If you're a pig and a monkey, you should. But I'll get into that later in the episode.
Okay,
so
let's not jump. Next question.
Jump the gun. Okay.
So next, what is your human design profile?
Okay, human design, I'm not as well versed in. I feel like I just started doing this recently. But my human design, my type is I'm a generator. Mm-hmm. So I believe generators, like, they create things, like creators in this world.
Endless right? energy.
Endless energy. I definitely agree with that for mm-hmm. sure. I feel like I'm constantly like thinking new things or creating new things. My profile is 3-5. I can't remember what 3-5 was. I think it was saying, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Same. I just know it's 3-5. Yeah. I just know it said, I believe it's something to do with, I can't remember. I
Let me grab the book.
I was like, Let me grab the book. Hold on. It, but not quite. Okay, yeah. Can you educate me? Because I don't know.
We can have our human design experts hit us up, send us a DM.
So what's yeah, they're your, like,
the human design people everything. Are probably yelling yeah, at us right. right now. Okay.
What I know, are your they're like fake.
Emotional authority. Is it emotional authority?
Yeah, it says inner authority. So my inner authority is emotional solar plexus, which is crazy because I've been dealing with this. Gabby knows this. I've been dealing with my solar plexus healing recently.
Man,
been it's going like the- through a lot.
I can't decide which is worse, like to heal, like the root, the sacral, the solar, the upper four. Like, these are fine.
Solar plexus is crazy. Like, it's all about like who you are as a person, mm-hmm. and it just feels yes. so weird. I just feel like when you're out of alignment, you just don't feel like you, and it's the weirdest thing. The weirdest yeah. thing. But I definitely am on my healing era journey. So
soft girl era.
Okay, 3-5. Is the great life experimenter. So 3 is the experimenter oh, yeah, okay. and 5 is the liberator.
Okay, yeah, I remember. Ooh. So it said that I get my wisdom and knowledge through experimenting with things, and I find practical solutions to things.
That makes so, sense.
So, like, if something happens, I'm able to, like, take that experience and then create a practical solution so I'm never able – or so I'm able to, like, overcome those things, like, in the future or, like, you know, something similar to that. So – yeah, okay. I definitely agree with that for sure.
But okay, yeah. next question.
I have a bonus question.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. You have the next question. Yeah, whoa, I want to ask the last one.
Ladies, calm down. No, I'm just kidding.
No, go ahead, Gabs.
What's up?
I was going to ask. Okay.
It'll be funny.
The question is, and we're not looking for you to say the Spiritual Sisters as your answer, but what are some of your favorite podcasts, whether they're spiritual or just in general? Because we like to get ideas for new podcasts, or maybe the listeners want different ideas. So what are some podcasts that you enjoy listening to?
Hey, you.
Yeah, you.
Are you into weird shit? Yeah?
You into cryptids?
What about hauntings? Yeah, I've got a ghost for you.
Oh, you like overworld the beings.
Me too. Check out all these aliens. We have plenty. How do you feel about a good legend?
Want to hear about spooky happenings?
Yeah, you do.
Let us show you what we've got.
Hey guys, grab a drink and join us, Amanda and Sean, every week while we dive into the strange and haunting topics that have piqued our interest.
See you over at The Haunted and the Strange, wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay spooky.
Okay, well, I'm going to be honest. You know what I was going to say, but for sure, obviously, the Spiritual Sisters podcast. You guys are the one I listen to most consistently, obviously. I love your guys' podcast. I know. Thank you. But I know you guys are relatively new, but I will say you guys are my favorite. And of course, knowing you also helps. Because it's like, I feel like I'm just having a conversation with you, you know? Mm-hmm. So
she's like yelling at us. Fun. She's like, get focused, ladies.
No, but I haven't been really listening to podcasts as much. I did commute to school when I was commuting to school. I just graduated, almost 2 years ago, technically. And when I would drive to school almost an hour, I would listen to a lot of podcasts before you guys had your podcast out. And I listened to The Lavender Lifestyle with Eileen Chu. Oh, she's one of my favorite. I loved her. I love her YouTube videos. She also went to USC. So I don't know. I just align with her a lot. And she mainly... it's just her. And then she typically invites guests on. So it's just her and another guest. And the guests are typically related to almost everything. I know she had like a feng shui expert on too. She had someone on human design. She also has like other content creators, lifestyle creators, stuff like that on. Theirs is, I feel like, it's pretty humorous, but theirs is very much like she always has like a list of questions to ask them. I'm not really sure, but I really enjoy. It just feels like that's, I don't know. I just really enjoy it. Maybe because I just knew her from before, like her YouTube videos. But I like that one as well, just because she like, almost all the episodes she has, I genuinely enjoy, like almost every topic. And even the ones where I'm not so interested in and I end up listening to it, I end up being like, oh, wow, like that was an interesting topic. So I feel like don't be afraid to do like some topics you think listeners might not like, because they end up might liking it in the future, you know.
And she's really easy to listen to. She has a very,
soothing
voice, because I listen to her affirmations in the morning. So I really like, I didn't even know she had a podcast. I just knew she had YouTube. Okay, next question. If you could work with any celebrity client you could pick, who would it be?
Any celebrity client?
Yeah, who would you want to work with?
Oh my goodness. Who would I want to work with?
I mean, you've had celebrity clients, so.
Oh my gosh, okay. Well, right, that's like,
who
I just
would you want to work with? Yes. Like they're like, hey, you get your pick. Everybody's down. Who are you going to pick?
Wow. Like for, okay. I feel like for Feng Shui, like it's different, right? So for astrology, it's like their life and who they are, what they experience. But the Feng Shui is like the design of the house and, you know, and stuff like that. And I don't know. I feel like I literally have never thought of this. I probably should.
Okay. Think about it.
But I don't know. There's so many people that like, maybe the Kardashians. I did think about it and I was like, what about like the Kardashians? Like something crazy, like something random. I feel like because they are have an emphasis on their homes. Like I know they have like very unique style and very unique things. I wouldn't be surprised if they already have like a Feng Shui. Yeah, right? Exactly. That's what I thought. That's why I feel like it'd be, oh, you know who I'd love to do? I think it was Big Sean. The Big one that dated Ariana Grande?
Oh, wait, I don't fuck with you.
Ariana Grande? Yeah, it was. Yeah,
it was Big Sean, right? Okay, sorry, that sounds so random. But he did a Vanity Fair, I think. You know when they do the 70 questions or Vogue? Maybe it was one or the other. They went to his house, and he's very, very into meditation, and his home is very Zen inspired.
Oh,
and it's
interesting.
So random. But I would love to. I remember looking at the video of his house and being like, "Wow, I would want to go there."
I love that.
So if you guys check out that video, because it's shocking. He's very into like the spirituality meditation, and he said it like influences life a lot, and he seemed just so chill to be around. So I would definitely say him for Feng Shui. You know,
okay.
Kardashian, step aside.
Big Sean. I like that, because you don't really hear much about him. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's so random. I just remember thinking about that. Yeah. And then for astrology, really? That's
He's as tall as I am and skinnier.
Oh. Small man.
So he's small Sean, not Big Sean.
But yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's why he's Big Sean.
Oh, that's the irony.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say him, and I wouldn't mind doing his astrology chart too. I feel like that'd be cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
All right, Gaz, what's your bonus question? I already know what your bonus question is, because you're unoriginal. Go ahead.
Exactly. I'm her copycat. Okay. Who's your favorite spiritual sister and why?
I just watched this video on Instagram. You guys are snakes. And I was literally like, if they ask me this question, I'm going to cry. I'm going to be so indecisive.
Wow.
No, Gabby, you forgot to say, and why is it me?
Why is it me?
No, I left that out on purpose.
If you truly were going to call me Nicole.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just got to make it a little different.
No, it cut off though. I didn't hear the response that she gave. In the Instagram reel, it like cut off.
Yeah,
she didn't answer.
She said at the end, she's like, I could never choose. You guys are a package deal, like the Olsen twins.
Yeah.
So true. But what's funny though is I've known Gabby the whole time for like the past few years, and I just recently met Nicole.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh.
But same,
we're
but
very
different, huh?
Vibes. Very different vibes.
Yes, very
but
different.
But same. At the same time.
Oh, God.
We're two sides of the same coin, and if you put us together, we'd just feel like one human.
I feel like what's funny though is like I feel like Nicole. I feel like you guys are good cop, bad cop. Like, but you love both, right? Like you love bad cop because bad cop tells you what to do and tells you like, you know, things so you don't get hurt in the future and like life lessons. But then good cop is everything you want to hear. So Gabby's
who's good cop and who's bad cop? Gabby's good cop.
I think Abby's good. I think you're bad cop, but I like, you know, I like structure and being like yelling and being like, get your shit together.
It's a Scorpio.
That's hilarious.
So Mm-hmm. I feel like you guys are just, yes, a package deal, aww, but in your own unique ways. So I will not answer that because as your biggest fan and the president of a fan club, that just seems wrong.
Oh my gosh, we should have a fan club. Chikara would be like the only member. She'd be the president, the founder, and the only member. Okay.
Exactly,
so. Okay. So why are you here again? What are we talking about today? Yes, I love it.
Finally getting into the meat of the
20 minutes right in, guys.
I feel like, dang it, we're on schedule. No, all good.
She's freaking out internally.
I know. I'm like, no. But you guys invited me back because you love me so much and we were just going to have a conversation. But
facts.
This is to celebrate the 2024, which is also in Chinese astrology and is the new year of the dragon. So it's the new era, I guess. So 2023 was the year of the rabbit. And now we're going into the year of the dragon, which is huge. Everybody loves the year of the dragon, especially in Chinese culture. It's a very big year. People born in these kind of years tend to be leaders, tend to create change. They're very dynamic. So this is a very, very exciting year.
Question.
Yes, already.
Does she's like, here we go. Okay. Is there, so is it like every, I don't know, 12 years? Like, how many animals are there and do they follow the same pattern or is like, so for example, like in cardology, it was interesting because there was only, there's like the Joker card and that's only one day out of the year versus all of the other cards where you could have multiple days, I think, that have the same card. So does this follow a pattern or is like when, how often is the dragon?
Yeah. So obviously in Chinese astrology there, it's pretty much follows the same exact pattern. So not only are there, so there's 12 animal signs, like you just mentioned, there are the 12 animal signs starting with the rat and then the dragon, I believe is sixth in the line. So every 12 years will be the next animal sign. So it's 2024, you know, for sure in 2036, that will be the year of the dragon again. What makes this unique though, is that there is actually kind of like 60 different animal signs because with each year number, there's the element associated with it. So we always say like, oh, Gabby's a water monkey, right? So that means that the number, the ending number in the year, so 2024, so four is related to an element and that element is wood. So this year is more specifically not a dragon year. It's called a wood dragon year. So if you're asking when's the next wood dragon year, then it won't be for another 60 years. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. But if you're talking about specifically just like, oh, generic, just dragon, then the next dragon year is in 2036 and then 2048 and then so on. But specifically wood dragon year is
it. Which is the best dragon year to have? Is it wood, fire, air, water?
So the best one to have is, sorry, let me say the five different elements first, but there's wood. So there's wood and then there is fire. Then there's earth and then there's metal and there's water. Okay. So typically people, so there's dragons typically have the same characteristics, right? Like all dragons born in all dragon years. But then when you add in that layer of the different elements, that can also give them a unique characteristic. So during the year 2000 was the year of the metal dragon. And that was one of the most sought after years to have babies, especially in Asia, because that's the metal dragon, or in Chinese astrology, it was also called like the gold dragon, because metal back in ancient times was associated with like silver, gold, like, you know, money. So they believe that those are very sought after leaders. They're going to be the new leaders of the world. Like, don't be surprised if people born in the year 2000 are going to be high ranking officials or leaders coming up as we get older. So I would say the most sought after would be the year 2000. So the next one would be 2060 from now. So yeah.
I actually, as you were talking about that before you asked your question, I was like, damn it. Like, cause I'm obviously like nowhere near having children cause it takes two, but I was like, I would have loved to have a dragon baby because
but there is a lot of setbacks too with dragon babies too.
Yeah. I mean, but isn't that the same for any sign though? Like you can say there's a polarity for everything.
You could say that, but I would say specifically if we get into the specifics of it, dragons also have a tendency to have a hard time because when you think about it, well, I haven't mentioned all of the animal signs yet, but the dragon's the only mythical creature in all 12 animal signs, and they have the most difficult time because they're hard to be understood when you think about it, because there's How is a snake supposed to relate to a dragon? You know, like,
well, that's you and your sister.
No, I know, right? But there's times where my sister, like, for example, Sakura, I love you. I know you're going to listen to this. I know you are. But her head's in the clouds sometimes. She's very in her own world and she can only see it. She can only see her vision, you know? So those kind of people born in the year of the dragon, they have a vision and they have a, you know, straightforward belief in things and are pretty stubborn, that no one else can really understand them. They tend to be loners. They feel like people don't really understand them. And it's because of that mythical nature of them. That's the belief in Chinese astrology.
What year is it this year for the dragon?
What this is the, said? Yeah, wood dragon year.
Wood, okay.
Yeah, so. But yeah, I can get into like the specifics right now. I was going to go into like a quick intro about like what the heck
do your thing.
New Year is. And then we're just here. History. Please let me go into my structure before you guys ask questions. Okay, so I have five pages of notes.
Will you tell
for
us when we can ask questions?
Yeah, of Chikara. Course.
Okay. Like, I have all the questions always.
Okay, I'll do transition
now I'm like freaking
words.
Out.
I'll be like, I'll be like, okay, that's it for the intro. Now you may speak.
Okay, I'll write them down.
Okay, so let me get into it. So basically, this is a quick intro. So Chinese New Year for this year is February 10th, 2024. So I believe that will be, what, 11 days from when this podcast drops? So almost 2 weeks away. So it's coming up. But as of right now, we're in the year of the rabbit. So just for reference. So as we know, as we've been talking about, this marks the year of the dragon in Chinese astrology. So typically, celebrations and festivals are conducted on the night before. So that would be February 9th. Don't be surprised if maybe you have friends who are Chinese. They meet up with relatives and stuff like that. They have parties and celebrations. It's just like New Year's, just like our traditional New Year's Eve on December 31st. It's just on a different day. It is one of the most important holidays in Chinese culture and is celebrated by a variety of other Asian cultures worldwide. So it's not just strict. I know it says Chinese New Year. But of course, as you may know, throughout history, China's influence was all across Asia. So for example, even though I'm Japanese, my mom's from Okinawa, Japan, which is an island off of mainland Japan. Every Chinese New Year, we have an annual get together with our family and like family friends from that island. And they live in Los Angeles and we'll just have a get together and just celebrate the New Year. And people who are born in the Year of the Dragon, they get called up, they get little, you know, gifts and stuff like that. And then we just have a huge celebration eating good Chinese food. So it's not just strictly, you know, just for Chinese people. Of course, anybody can celebrate this. And that's very clear in how we celebrate it too. But that's just a little quick intro. I'm not
wait,
sure
I have a time. Question.
Yeah, I knew. Wait. Now no, you can no, answer. Now like, you can answer right, because I just finished the intro. I'll let it happen.
Her face. I was like, oh, she's okay. Thinking of a question.
No, real quick. Yes. So you said the people that are born in the year of the dragon will be called up. Does it change every year? So like last year, is it whoever was born in the year of the rabbit mm-hmm. was called up? Okay. So it's not always the dragon's like the favorite one. It's just whatever.
No. Okay. Yeah. Like my mom, I believe in 2020 was the year of the rat and my mom got called up and they give them like a cute little like statue of like a rat. And then they give them like, you know, a gift card or something like that. Just as like a little gift to commemorate them. But
okay.
Yeah, so
you may continue.
Oh, well, thank you.
Page two.
Okay, page two. Yeah, let me get to my notes. So actually, I did research for this. I kind of generally know like the history of Chinese New Year's, but I didn't actually genuinely know the intricate history from ancient times. So I'll get into that right now. So historically, Chinese New Year was believed to be a time in which people had like sacrificial ceremonies to honor their gods, ancestors in the beginning of each year. So according to an ancient Chinese legend, there is a beast called Nian. Its head looked like a lion with a sharp horn on it, which could be used to attack its prey. And on the last day of the lunar year, so February 9th, right, for this year, we'll say, it would come out and eat people and livestock. So it would literally terrorize, like, it would literally terrorize villages, okay? However, one year, an old man came, okay, this old, weird, just guy, okay, and he promised to drive away this cruel beast from attacking everyone in the village. And everyone's like, yeah, that's crazy, okay, have good luck with that. So then that year the Nian was stalking the village like normal, and it was right when it was about to kill its prey, suddenly the sound of firecrackers arose together with like a bunch of flares and all of that, right? The Nian was terrified, so the beast was super scared, and while it stood there, the old man was dressed in all red. And it sent the beast into a frenzy, kind of like how, like, you know, in I believe in Hispanic culture, they have like the beast makes it go crazy. Anyways, I think that Mexico's mad. But anyways, the beast got scared and went to a frenzy. It was so terrified, it rushed away. The second day, after the villagers returned and they all found their houses and livestock safe and sound, they realized the old man was actually a celestial being who had come to help them. So he also told them the three secret weapons to drive the neon away. So items that are red in color, bright lights, and firecrackers. So from then on the last day of the year, people put up like red decorations, red lanterns. They set off firecrackers, keep the lights on, and stay up as late as they can to keep safe from the neon. And this also evolved into like the Chinese New Year celebration we know today with all like the red paper, you know, like the red gifts, the red lanterns, everything's red. That's why it represents the Chinese New Year. So,
oh, I love that, that story.
Cute little. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that makes so much sense now after I read that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the history. Do you have any questions?
Gabby's eyes were wandering. What are you doing, Gabs? What are you thinking?
No, I was thinking about what I'm going to do to celebrate this year.
I know. I haven't even thought about it either.
I'll be bald by my lonesome. I was actually thinking about taking the 9th off from work. And I was like, I think
it's a Friday.
Go.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. So I think I'm going to, because I'll be by myself. So I will be gallivanting around the Pacific Northwest, I think.
Make sure to wear some red.
Ooh, okay. But I heard that it's good to wear green this year, right?
Oh, because it's also the wood, because it's the wood dragon.
But yeah.
On the actual holiday day, like New Year's Eve, I would say wear red.
Okay.
Because okay. That's what they typically do.
Okay. So red on Friday and then green on Saturday, or the opposite?
I don't know. Just red. I typically don't work with colors as much, but I would just say do whatever your heart desires. Whatever
red and green. You.
It's like Christmas. I'm crying. Okay, so then if I can get into the next section, I'm going to talk about timing, because I know Nicole was kind of asking this maybe like, then I'm not sure if you guys know, but the Chinese New Year changes every single year. So like,
that was another
really
question
weird.
I had.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to get into that right now because, okay. You know, so basically the beginning of the Chinese New Year is based off of the lunar calendar year. That's why they always say Chinese Lunar New Year, or Lunar New Year. So unlike the traditional Gregorian calendar, so the one where we're used to, where it resets on January 1st, mm-hmm. Chinese New Year falls apparently on the second new moon after the winter solstice on December 21st. So the holiday day actually changes year after year. But typically the holiday ranges sometime between January 21st and February 20th. So you just honestly just look it up each year.
Oh, that makes
sense. But yeah, so for some people it's really unique. So whenever I'm doing their astrology and they're saying like, oh, I'm born on January like 4th and I'm the year of the rabbit. And I'm like, no, technically you're born in the year of the tiger because the year of the rabbit didn't happen yet.
Yeah.
So that's why people who are born in January and February, I kind of have to be careful and be like, oh, I'm not really sure if that's what you are quite.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what's unique and interesting. That's one of the, I feel like, not the challenges, but that's what's very unique about this holiday is that it changes. It's not a set date every year, which I thought was unique.
When you've told somebody that they were not actually that animal, like how many lives have you destroyed by doing that?
Okay, whoa. Okay, let's pause.
How many bubbles did you burst? And no, you're actually not a dragon. You're a rabbit. And they're like, fuck, this whole time I thought I was special because I was a dragon.
Well, typically our clients who come to us, they have almost no experience with Feng Shui or Chinese astrology. So the fact that I'm even telling them what they are, they're like, oh, okay, cool.
They're like, what does that mean?
Yeah, but most likely, I think most likely when you look up what your animal sign is, I think they may have warnings like, oh, if you're born, like if you do the calculator, I think they have like the Chinese year calculators and you put like January 4th, 2000, right? Then it'll be like, oh, sorry, you're a rabbit. You're not a gold dragon. Yeah. So I think they have like calculators that tell that, but none of the people we've ran into have like ever
that's
been
good.
Like, what the? You know, most of them either know or they're like, oh, okay. Didn't know that in the first place. So okay. I did not ruin any lives. Thank you.
Not yet.
But yeah, that's the dates. Right. So modern page customs. Three. Yes, we are on. No, we're on page 2. Modern customs. So in modern times, Chinese New Year, as you know, is a time of festivals, annual get-togethers, and wishing for good fortune and renewal. So communities that celebrate Chinese New Year often hold festivals with dragon and lion costumes and fireworks. Stores and homes often decorate with those red lanterns and red like paper decorations and stuff like that. Families that celebrate this tradition will use it as a time to have an annual get-together and give their loved ones red envelopes which contain money and other paper charms such as like good fortune and happiness, health, and wealth for the new year. Also, individuals often take this time, just like I feel like January 1st for us in Western society, individuals often around this time will clean their home and get rid of clutter to make space for good luck and new feng shui energy. So this is honestly just a time of renewal. It's very, very similar to, I feel like, our regular New Year's Eve celebrations, but, you know, has their own unique twist. And I feel like it has more of a spiritual context in this as well.
And I've heard before from, I think, from some friends that like went to a wedding and it was either a Chinese wedding or it was an Asian culture wedding. And they were talking about the red envelopes for the wedding. Mm-hmm. So that's not specific to New Year, it sounds like. Is that just like red's a lucky
color? Yeah. So typically, I think I read up on this and they are saying that I'm used to the red envelopes being for New Year's because that's just typically when they're given. But I heard that they're also given on special ceremonies. So like on a wedding day, they give them as well. So it's basically just wishing you a new life, like kind of, you know what I mean? Like new year, new life, new beginning almost, I'm pretty sure. So I know, I'm not sure if they do that in Japan, but I know, I believe that's what it said was, yeah, I just didn't include it because,
okay,
you know, this is specifically for the Chinese New Year. But yeah, I think I read something up. That's why.
Yeah, I remember thinking, oh, how cool. Because, you know, typical weddings here are black and white, right? The typically groom's in black, bride is in white. But in other cultures, like red, I've seen for wedding dresses and other cultures. And just, you know, it varies, but so you would expect more. Because here, if you go buy something for a wedding, if you buy a card, it's going to be usually black or white. That's it. There might be a sprinkle of color in there, but not really. I like the pop of red.
Yeah, I actually like it too. I think it's unique. Yeah, so that's pretty much the modern customs for the Chinese New Year. So give you some ideas. Gabby, are you going to clean your room and have a space renewal and energy? Oh, that's totally what I just said. Basically, just we were just saying that the feng shui energy, like that people use this time to like declutter everything and just space.
I am a hoarder.
Nicole's like, no.
I am a hoarder.
Gabby is such a fucking hoarder.
I am a hoarder. I do.
Do you
don't
still
like
save receipts?
I love the show Hoarders. I love the show Hoarders.
It is.
I can help you.
I was like, who did I get this from? I'm pretty sure it was my mom.
No, because she would always be like, Gabby, why do you have all these receipts? Like, she would hoard receipts.
Oh, okay. So,
she was like 13, 14. What? Like, why do you have so many receipts? No, it was obsessive. It was excessive. It was literally all the bad things.
She's prepping for her taxes 10 years in advance.
Literally, Dad just cleaned out the garage with everyone's shit in there. And most of it, not to call you out, was actually yours and mom's. And it's been there for like over 10 plus years. Wow. So I was
my
like,
childhood.
So family I totally got that from mom. Totally.
Family gossip.
She's a hoarder a little bit. But I mean, but I don't understand. Like, Gabby would have receipts in her like little purse. Like she was like a little girl with like a little purse. And it's like, well, why do you have so many receipts? You're not even shopping. You don't even have money. And it was, she wouldn't
I
get
don't
rid
know
of them.
I don't that know why like I'm like that. Or I, you know, I still have those tendencies. I literally still do that. Like if you go upstairs to my office, I have all of the receipts from, you know, my business that I've spent or whatever. It just
okay, that's reasonable though. But
that's
Nicole's
reasonable
saying when you were a child.
When she was a child, Chikara.
I think I just showed these tendencies of like being a businesswoman from like the jump, you know? So but like not healthy. It's like the most
well,
organized.
That's a good reframe.
Disorganized person you're gonna meet. So
Nicole's like, you can't fool me. I work with therapy. I do therapy for a living.
Honestly, I forgot about that. Like the things coping that Nicole remembers, I was like, how do you remember this? Why do you remember?
Because
this?
It was ridiculous. I was just like, what is wrong with her? Like in sorting receipts, watching funny CNN when she's like 8 years old at 6 a.m. in the morning.
No,
like, who
this
does
is true
that?
This is so true. I would literally plop my ass on the couch. The couch was indented. It's like a whole thing, you guys.
Okay. Moving on, page two, page three. What are we on now?
We're like page two and a half right now. I really hope I don't bore anyone. I hope they're
they're
going to
be bored.
This. I really hope they enjoy this episode.
They will. They loved the last one.
Good. I will be the best. I promise. So the next part is dragon characteristics. Okay, so this is specifically saying what people born in the year of the dragon may be. So if you're having a baby or if you know you're born in the year of the dragon, these are some things to look out for. So these are the past years of the dragon in Chinese astrology. So people born in 1952, 1964, 1976, 1988, 2000, 2012, and of course this year, 2024, are all years of the dragon. If you want to know future years, like Gabby, you want to plan the exact moment you have a child. Just add 12 years to each of it. So 2024, the next one would be 2036, 2048, and so on. So people born in the year of dragon are known to be confident, intelligent, and talented. So the dragon's confidence and intelligence makes them suitable leaders in the world. However, dragons may be aggressive, not open to criticism, and even be arrogant. But due to the dragon's dynamic nature, they can inspire imagination, leadership, and new ideas. So expect this year to be very interesting in terms of all things, basically. Very dynamic year, I'll say that.
She has a question.
No, I'm going to write it down.
Okay. So do you want me to keep going or what's up? Yes. Okay. So based off of what we know from the dragon's characteristics, this is just a general fortune for 2024. So expect an auspicious year for change, growth, and progress in literally all areas of the world, life, and everything. This will be a dynamic year with opportunities for those open to change and growth. But it also may bring conflict and uncertainty in the world's politics, foreign relations, and the environment. I know, as we know, January 1st, there was a lot of things that went down, especially in Japan. Japan had like a huge earthquake. Luckily, I don't think there was any tsunamis. Then the Japan's airlines like caught on fire. But I'm not going to say anything just because technically the 2024 hasn't started for the Chinese New Year. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's giving a sneak preview. So... Yeah. That's what I'm going to say to that. And I would also say that this is also a very like fiery year. So especially in Feng Shui, that's one of the things that my dad and I have been discussing is that we're going into cycle 9. So every 20 years, there's a new cycle. So the previous cycle that we were in, cycle 8, was from the years 2004 to 2024. And now we're entering cycle 9, which is the last cycle. So then the next cycle in 2044 will be cycle 1. So this is the final cycle, and this is typically things blow up. I'll say that basically it's destroying everything to make room for the new in cycle 1. So this, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the start of very fiery changes and things. So be prepared. I think that also aligned with Gabby's year ahead reading for 2024. That aligned a lot. So that's really cool to see the similarities between the Chinese and the Western astrology. So
for sure.
Was that a Pluto thing, Gabs? Because I think I thought I remembered it was 20, just yes or no?
Kind of.
Okay, moving on.
Over it. Nicole said, I'm over it. I'm over you.
My brain can't comprehend. I just thought it was Pluto, but
it's a bit of everything, but yes.
Shall we move on?
Wait, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead. Are you moving on
to the next section? Or are we still in the?
Well, this is actually pretty much. I'm going to be on the last section, so after that, you can ask as many questions if you want, if that's okay. Then we can go on as many tangents as you want because I'll be done with all the information I prepared.
Okay, I'll save it.
I'm sorry.
We need to do this.
This is your show. We're just here. Okay, tell us.
It's the Chikara show, not the spiritual sister show. Okay. This is the last part, I swear. Then we can get into all the tangents, all the questions. So this is just what I was going to mention before from what we talked about earlier. But basically, these are some of the animal signs fortunes. So if you want to know what your specific animal sign is and what your fortune is for this year, please check out our Instagram at Happy Feng Shui. Make me happy if you could follow.
H-A-P-I, right? Because... Yes. I think I tried looking for yours once and I follow you and I was like, why can't I find them anywhere?
Yeah, specifically.
It'll be in the notes too. Yeah.
Yes. So we just finished posting all of the 12 animal signs fortunes for 2024. So go ahead and give that a look. However, I do have a few fortunes that I'll share with you guys that are pretty important. So those born in the year of the dragon, obviously, will find themselves having a bit more extra power to take some risks this year, but they should still exercise some caution as their luck changes. Like I said before, it's a very dynamic year. So don't go too crazy, but you can go a little crazy. Also, those in harmony with the dragon, such as the rat and monkey, may have some extra luck this year because they, you know, are in harmony with the year of the dragon. They may be able to have some extra power and just some good things this year. However, those born in the year of the dog should be extra careful this year since it is their year of opposition. So during an opposition year, it can be best described as you take one step forward and then you take two steps back. So something will just get in the way of life, everything. It's to promise not your fault. I promise it's just the energy of this year. So typically people in this year of opposition will go through some hardships throughout the year, but we believe there's a way to potentially reduce this. So this is some secret info if you're born in the year of the dog or you're experiencing your year of opposition. But basically, there's a happy feng shui secret tradition is that if you're in your year of opposition, the belief in order to reduce this negative energy, I'm not going to say, don't quote me, don't make me liable. I'm not going to say it's going to get rid of all your hardships, of course, but it'll hopefully reduce it. But the belief is that you're supposed to have a grand celebration on a good day, aka receive day and time. You can shout out to me or just let me know and I can give you those days and times. And you want to have a grand celebration with all your families and friends with loud music or noise. So like a band or stuff like that. The belief is that when you're surrounded by those you love and hear the metal or loud sounds, that it actually helps to dissipate the negative energy surrounding you in the year and help you bring you to have a more positive year. And that's it.
What are the years of the dog? Like, who are the people that should be?
Let me pull that up for you guys.
I know a couple dogs.
Didn't prep that. Wow.
Well, were they born in the year of the dog or are they just dogs?
No, they... Oh,
are
both.
We ready? So we all know born, dogs.
Yeah, that's true.
People born in the year of the dog are people born in the years 1958, 1970, 1982, 1994, 2006, and 2018. So
okay,
those people. So I believe their ages, they should be around people who are 30 years old, people who are 18, people who are 6, people who are
50 something.
What?
55?
48. And I think when you're 48 years old and then, yeah, and so on and so on. You get the point.
Yeah.
You get
is the Brianna
42,
a dog?
Sorry, 42, 54.
54. Yeah. No, she's a 93 baby.
So she's a rooster.
Oh, would you say 92, 94?
94, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 94.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, shit.
No, she actually just had her year. If she's born in 1993, her year of opposition is this year, the year of the rabbit, or last year, technically.
Okay, so that's something to end for her?
It'll end on February, so don't worry.
She'll see this and then hit us up in the group message, so she has the videos. Okay.
Can I ask my question now?
Yes, thank you for allowing me to get my structure done. Oh my God. I feel the anxiety has left my soul, so... Okay, go ahead. I'm excited to answer all your questions. So.
Well, I don't know if this is a question for you or if this is a question for Gabs. So maybe, I don't know, whoever, take it. Okay. So you were talking about the characteristics of the year of the dragon. Mm-hmm. Can you read them again real quick?
Yeah, of course. Let me go back to page 2. Sorry, you wanted to know the characteristics of people born in the year of the dragon or like what 2024 is like?
Probably both.
Yes, both.
Okay, so those born in the year of the dragon are known to be confident, intelligent, and talented. Their confidence and intelligence make them suitable leaders in the world. However, they can be aggressive, not open to criticism, and arrogant.
Next one.
Okay, so due to the dynamic nature of the dragon, you can expect a year of change, growth, and progress. There will be opportunities for those open to change and growth, but it also may bring conflict and uncertainty in the world's politics, foreign relations, and the environment.
Okay. I was thinking, so Gabs, if somebody is starting a business mm-hmm. in 2024, in the mm-hmm. year of the dragon, mm-hmm. in your opinion, would that be a good year, a bad year? Does it not matter because the date of their business is still going to kind of maybe like override all of the dragon characteristics in it? Or what are your thoughts?
I mean, that's definitely something you can take into consideration. It's definitely something I've thought of when, you know, I LLC my business. But what in my system, it's very specific to that respective business owner's personal birth chart. So mm-hmm. you want to look and link that to, you know, their birth chart. And then the next step you could take is considering dates and what dates you would launch that business. And I think those would be probably the two main components for my system.
No further questions.
She's satisfied with that answer.
I swear, Nicole, it feels like you're a lawyer.
Like, I wanted to be a lawyer as a child.
Bad cop. Literally, really? Bad cop.
I didn't know that about you. Lawyer.
Yeah. My mom was like, you love to argue. You totally should. And then I found out how much school it required. And I was like, maybe not.
I could so see you being a lawyer.
I love to fight. I don't love to fight. I love to argue.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Good cop, bad cop.
I know. That's the theme of today's episode, I guess.
I'm the bad one. I'll take it. Okay.
Okay.
What else you got?
Up to you guys. Gabby, you got any questions?
No, I thought you had 5 pages. I was only like 2, right?
No, I only had 3.5, guys.
Oh, they said 5.
Should I add something? No, I was just joking. I was just trying to make it seem like I prepped.
Gabby sometimes has had 8 pages and
so dumb.
Yeah. And then we don't air it because I'm like, I can't follow anymore.
See, I thought this was a perfect amount. See, mm-hmm. we're like perfect. On time.
3.5 pages, Gabs. That's
should we
sweet
be on
spot.
Should we okay. be on tangents? Okay. What should our tangent be?
Our tangent should be, well, I just wanted to make a note. I love how you were saying that it's gonna be a really fiery year. And in mm-hmm. my system, the reason that is because all of the Mercury retrogrades are in fire signs.
And this is a wood dragon year.
Yeah, oh, shit.
Just
okay.
feeding the fire, probably. Yeah,
literally. And then I was thinking about you two, because you both are Aquarius risings.
Oh, yes.
Which means you guys are not from this planet. Planet Earth is not your home planet.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So where is our home planet?
I don't think it's the same, to be honest, because I've seen your higher selves. But what I wanted to say is that you guys are starting a brand new 20-year cycle. Well, by the time this airs, it'll already have started. But on January 20th, because Pluto is going into Aquarius for 20 years, baby.
Oh,
I thought Pluto was doing something.
Yeah, Pluto. Yeah.
Is that not what Nicole asked?
I mean, kind of, yes. But in my mind, I was like, but you could look at it this way or you could look at it that way. So,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so Pluto's going into Aquarius. What does that mean again?
You know, this is like a 20-year transit. We've never seen this in our lifetime, and we will not see this again in our lifetime. But okay. Pluto's about to shake shit up. And so that's happening in your guys' 12th and 1st house. So you guys are basically going through like a glow-up period.
Oh.
She's like, I
will not be opposed to that.
What's the 1st house again?
Identity, self.
The self, right?
Yeah. Who you are.
And what's the 12th house?
Death, the house of endings, mental health.
Oh my god,
the unseen.
Get rid of the negativity for me, please.
Well, yours is in the 12th, and Nicole's is in the 1st. So that makes sense.
So I'm getting rid of it, or are we adding to it?
You're closing up. You're going through your healing journey. I think you're at the start of it.
Yeah. Healing era, please.
And Nicole's about to.
What am I? Oh, I'm going into like midlife crisis, huh?
No. That's in a couple.
No,
years.
It's coming up.
Yeah. It is coming up, but
I'm going to my quarter life crisis in a few years.
No. Nicole's, no, yours is good, Chikara. Nicole's, okay, and good. Nicole's is too. I think Nicole's is just more like you're on path. So your midlife crisis, the astrologers call it the Uranus opposition, but yours isn't going to be bad because you're doing everything you're supposed to do. So I think yours is going to be great.
Good.
As it Both should. Of you.
Okay. All right, Chikara. So what would you suggest that people do to bring in the lunar new year correctly, to call in their dragon energy? We know you talked about, because I'm wondering, you know, people probably don't want to have another whole new year celebration, but are there any kind of like rituals or things that someone could do for lunar new year?
Definitely think so. I mean, you don't have to go all out. Like, I know some, like, it's just innate, like, in certain Asian cultures that they just always, you just know that you're going to have a celebration every February. Like, I know my family does. But even when we don't celebrate with my family, like, my extended family, you know, we just stay at home and we'll just have, you know, I feel like it's the intention behind it. It doesn't necessarily need to be grand, like, oh my gosh, we got to have, like, a band over there. We got to have, you know, we've got to run out of place. No, it's not like that. I definitely think the intention behind it, and if you know, just make all your favorite foods, could be Asian food, could be whatever kind of food you like, and just being surrounded by the people you love. And I think calling that into the new year, I think is really special. And also just, I feel like it's more internal. I feel like just the mindset of being like, okay, this is the new year. And like I said, like we were joking around with Gabby, but like I genuinely think it's a good time to reset your house, reset your space.
Get rid of those receipts.
underneath my bed.
Oh, yeah, they were everywhere. It was dumb.
But yeah, like I definitely think just resetting your space, because that's also related to feng shui. So I know we didn't really talk about that as much in this episode, but for the feng shui, the new year starts February 4th. That's the same every year just because the Chinese New Year is always changing. But in feng shui, everybody's space, the energy in each of the rooms will change. So annually, the energy in your house will change, even though everybody has like, in feng shui, your house is built and it's has that energy that it's built with, right? But then each annual year, there's a number that comes in and that number can change up the energy and nature within that home. So you'll see like for some people, there's good things. They'll say like, oh, in my room, let's say, like you have the number 8, which is really good for money and stuff like that, like financial abundance and stuff like that. But for let's say my sister's room, she doesn't live here, but let's just say in my sister's room, she had the number 2. When the number 2 comes in, you have to be careful of car accidents and issues like that, or, you know, lawsuits, arguments and stuff like that. So, but that'll change. So like after in 2025, it goes down a number, I believe. So then I would have the number 7, right? So then the number 7 is good for, I believe, like also wealth. It's good for like changes and stuff like that. And then my sister's would go down to 1, which is good for different things, right? So I would definitely say, reach out to me if you want to do the feng shui on your home. But just keep that in mind is also like the energy in your home is also changing as well. So might as well keep your space clean, renew it. You could change your own furniture as long as it aligns with your chart, you know, and stuff like that. So that's definitely what I do.
2 things.
Yes.
Well, one's a comment. I need to hit you up soon. Okay. For my reading.
Oh yes. Sorry.
And then how can the people work with you to take advantage of this? Because this seems really important. And I do know that because I remember having a conversation with you that the energy in my room shifting after this was like a once in a 13-year transit because it was like a money transit. So I was like, oh yeah, if I can like hang out until February, which I mean, I'm going to, like that would be really supportive. And I want to affirm you because I did see that financial success within my business this last year. So feng shui works, guys.
Hear that? Certified approval, seal of approval. Yeah. I mean, you guys can work with us. I mean, obviously I'm sure you guys will have in the notes.
Yes.
Where to find us. Also, I think a scheduling link, I think I'll ask you guys to put that in there as well. Just, do you want me to just throw out the offering right now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So they did ask if I had any special offerings. And of course, in honor of the Chinese New Year on February 10th, for the whole month of February, we're going to be offering 50% off our full astrology reports and feng shui reports. Typically, so then the astrology reports price will be around $75. And the feng shui reports will be $125. This is just because feng shui reports are much lengthier. So that's why. This is also a really rare offering. You really don't want to miss out because just it's literally just because of the Lunar New Year we're doing this. So please hit us up. Yeah.
Would that be if they just – so could they purchase in the month of February and like maybe book for March? Or does it have to be purchased and booked in the same month of February?
No, so you can just – whenever you want to book it, as long as you just purchase it within February, I think that's fine. But if you can't make it until March, April, that's totally cool.
Okay.
But yeah, our scheduling link will show you. It'll say you just pay for it and you can choose as far out, I believe, as like 6 weeks, like something crazy like that. So all up to you guys.
You guys, that's a killer deal.
That's so really good.
Yeah, yeah, that's like absolutely crazy. But yeah, so I would definitely say work with us and we're able to get you with your space unless you've already done feng shui with us. We can tell you the changes that may have happened if we're doing your house and it's for this new year. I can tell you what to expect for this new year.
Tell me husband's coming. Just kidding. Actually, no, not really kidding, but I think it is. He is.
Yes, let's call in. Dragon year, fiery passion. That's good. What Gabby needs.
It's good for this water monkey.
This water monkey, yeah, in wood dragon should be a good year.
All right. Yeah. Well, What's going to be the year after the dragon?
Right?
Year of the snake. Woo! Oh, it's my year. It'll be my year because I'll be 24. Great. So I'm really excited. I think I'm excited.
24 was a good year. Is that how it works? Like 24 typically tends to be a good one?
Yeah, 24 typically. So typically in a person's life, what ends up happening is when they're 6 years old, they break bones, they do dumb things, because when you're 6 years old, that's your first year of opposition. So it's really tough for six-year-olds. They might act out, have some trouble. And then when they're 12 years old, this is when I believe you graduate like sixth grade. It's like your year, you know, you're starting seventh grade or whatever. But it's typically a good year for kids because they're fine. I feel like you start to grow into yourself more and kind of know who you are a little bit by 12, you know?
Yeah.
And then 18 is a really hard year for a lot of people because you're literally a new adult and that's your next year of opposition. And I remember at 18, I had the worst health issues of my life. I had an infection, never got an infection in my life. It was so bad. It's really sad, but I'm sure you guys know, like, a lot of 18-year-olds are killed in car accidents, and that's because it's their year of opposition or their break bones. A lot of 18-year-olds die, which is unfortunate. But then at age 24, that's a really good year because I feel like you're past that awkwardness of the early 20s when you don't really know who you are. And I feel like by 24, you're kind of getting into your career, hopefully by then, and you have a new renewed sense of yourself as you become an actual true adult, I feel like, even though we may not feel like it. But
I feel like all of those years, 6 was not great. 12 was not great. 12 was a lot of trauma. 18 was a lot of trauma. 24 was fun. I was like young, skinny, and hot. And
see, then, so it was a good year.
And then it all went 30. Downhill.
30 is the year of opposition. So 30 is a hard year for most people. A lot of people switch careers because they don't know what they want to do. It's kind of like Chinese astrology's version of midlife crisis, I feel like, is at age 30.
Interesting.
Which is interesting, yeah. And then at 36, people have a renewed sense of self. They're excited for their career, or they're going into upper management, stuff like that.
Yeah. That all hits, except for 18. 18 was good for me, Nicole. 24 was good. 30 was the start to all of this, in a way. Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Chikara. We're going to have you back again soon. We already talked about it.
Yay.
We just haven't decided now.
Third time's the charm.
Yeah. And we're going to have you do the research for that episode. What? We're going to have you present it.
No. I thought I was just going to sit back and relax. I thought that was what's going to happen.
No, you're going to be our expert for that episode.
Fine. I guess we'll see. I write a 5-page report and
I haven't committed, so we'll see.
Okay, but I like listening to you guys too. I like to just comment as well.
You like to vibe as we drive?
Yeah, that's a good twist because I feel like last episode and this episode with you guys, I was very like, this is what we're doing.
You were driving.
But maybe it'd be cool to see what I'm like in the passenger seat, just saying.
Okay. I feel like you wouldn't know how.
Be a backseat driver.
Yeah, you're like a backseat driver, right? You're like, slow down. Like, hurry up. Go left.
Your chair literally says racing on it, just for the people watching on YouTube.
GT racing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Okay, guys. So
what's up?
Follow her. Follow on Instagram. Follow on
YouTube.
YouTube channel. I gotta start making more videos. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the new year. That's my 2024.
You did a video and it was so cute. It was so adorable. You need to do more.
Thank you. Okay.
And YouTube, Instagram, we'll have the links. Oh, wait. Before we go, we gotta do a card. Okay, but follow in all the places. Gabs, take it away while I figure this out.
Chikara.
I thought you were doing it.
Yeah, Nicole's doing the card pool, but Chikara.
Oh, yes, I'm scared.
I love you. You're just one of the best. You're my fave. I mean that.
Oh my god.
You, your sisters, your fam, fam bam. I'm just like, yeah, we're just meant to connect in this lifetime
once
again.
I love you, Nicole. You guys are like my older sisters. Literally.
Literally.
Like really a reflection of my older sisters.
I'm just like old enough to be your mother, Chikara, remember?
I know, but let's just not talk about that.
So guys, 2024, we're doing a card pool and we decided to use. Chikara asked for something blue. Mm-hmm. If I can put this back on. Why can't I put this on?
There we go. Do you want to share the deck?
Yes, we're using the Healing Waters Oracle card deck by Rebecca Campbell, yeah, because we're all water babies here. Gabby's a water monkey?
Yeah.
And water am I a water pig?
Yeah.
And you're a snake. Are you, what kind of snake are you?
I'm a metal snake.
Oh, a metal snake. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's see. Oh my God, these cards are so big. I can't get my little
Chikara, you were born hands around them. FYI.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. I just realized better that. Than everyone. No, I'm just kidding. I think it means I'm crazy, actually.
Oh, okay. The card that came up is the Healing Lagoon. Rejuvenate, recovery, time to heal, and it's safe to stop. This is what it looks like.
Whoa. That makes a lot of sense with the start of a new year and the intentions set.
Mm-hmm. So there you go, guys. And then I had pulled an affirmation card just for fun.
Oh, yeah. I want to know what it was.
At the beginning. And it said, today I will look ahead. Today I will see my future. It is a beautiful life I'm looking forward to.
I love that.
So that was the affirmation for today.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I really love that.
I love it, too. Thank you, Chikara. Coming on.
Thank you for having me. Of course, I am always number one fan. Anyone else who says that, I will fight them personally. Meet me at the CBS behind my house.
You're president of the fan club.
I know, right? What if I made you guys a fan account? And oh, I'm like, guys, they posted. Guys, they liked me. They liked my post.
You'd be the
only
one.
They followed me.
I get so excited when people that we love follow us.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a highlight.
I love your guys' little reels. They're so silly.
Thank you for saying
so that. So silly. Literally silly thing. I just go on Instagram. I'm like crying. I'm like, what are they doing?
We had to record some yesterday because we were running low. And I was like, Gabby, I can't keep doing this by myself. So I have her in on them.
You should do a funny one where it's like a joke and you're just like, yeah, we actually paid Chikara like $40 to shout us out and say she's our biggest fan.
She doesn't even know who we are.
I promise I don't. They don't pay me at all. This is totally non-sponsored.
Oh, we love that. We love you. Thank you. Okay, guys. Book with Chikara.
Yes, please. I beg.
Follow her at Happy Feng
Shui. Happy Feng Shui.
I'm so bad at that.
HAPIFENGSHUI. Happy Feng Shui. Okay.
And you guys will see her again soon.
Yay.
All right.
Can I do it? Can I do the thing?
Yeah.
Has anyone else done it since or no?
Yes, a couple people.
But like no one remembers like too. Accidentally. Like it's excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the trendsetter apparently.
You are.
I'm just kidding. I just think it's so cute. Okay,
All right. Are you ready? See you guys next time.
Bye.